For the past 10 years, New Yorker writer Jane Kramer has been sending home reports from Europe. She writes the Letter from Europe feature. Some of her reports have been collected in the new book Europeans, which has been nominated for a National Book Critics Circle Award. Her pieces range from a portrait of a West African musician playing Afropop in France to how life in Berlin is affected by the wall. Kramer divides her time between Paris and New York, where her family lives. I asked her how she got to Europe in the first place.
I first got to Europe to work because my husband was brought up in Europe, basically, and missed it so much that the minute we got married, we started spending as much time as possible away from New York. That was really how I started going to Europe. I had been to Europe several times before, but I really started living there a good deal of the time once I married, simply because I married someone who was half European.
Where is your husband from?
Well, he's from this country, but his father was Italian and he was brought up in Switzerland, so he's very Europe-centered. He works here. I'm very American-centered and I work there. We've introduced each other in a way.
When you got to Europe and you started writing stories there, did you feel that there were ways in which Europe had been written about that no longer seemed to fit the new Europe?
Yes, I did. The new Europe, but also journalism, mm-hmm. at this point in time in America. The news that I read from Europe was macro news, by and large. So much of it was under official umbrella, so much of it was political in a very narrow sense that I felt first of all, any conventional way of writing would just be duplicating what many other people did. And I also felt there was, I guess, yes, a need for the kind of work I was interested in. As a writer, writing nonfiction, Europe seemed to be a wonderful place to be for someone interested in narrative, for someone interested in people, for someone interested in ordinary life and the texture of ordinary life.
I think probably one of the greatest changes you've seen in your years writing about Europe is the diversification of the European culture through all the new immigrants who have moved into European countries. The impression I have from your book is that there have been two different effects on European culture. One is this real excitement over the diversification of food and music and culture and clothing, but that at the same time it's bringing out a xenophobia. In your previous book, Unsettling Europe, you wrote that the French are thinking less about the problems immigrants have in being poor, foreign, and away from home than about the probability of immigrants being criminals. Is that the case that the new immigrants in Europe are bringing out both this excitement about diversification of culture and xenophobia at the same time?
There's terrible xenophobia, as you probably know right now. It had, in a way, less to do with the fact of immigration, I think, than the fact of Muslim immigration in France. France recruited these workers desperately in the pre-oil crisis days of French economic boom. Suddenly, France wakes up in a terrible economic crisis and discovers that 5 million foreigners are there, many of whom are Arab, and all of those Arabs are Muslim, basically. But as the racism mounted in France, the Muslim fundamentalists came into the towns and the workers' communities where the Arabs were living and began to recruit on the terror of these migrant workers and began to play on their sense of separation and isolation and loneliness and the fact of being threatened and despised, so that there was, to a large extent, what the French call an antéchrist, a fundamentalist reaction on the part of those North African immigrants, which in turn fed the xenophobia, which in turn fed the reaction till you reached a point last year where there were violent crimes in almost every city, and in the large cities of the South, which are often now as much as 25% foreign, the xenophobia has become almost out of bounds.
It's really such an interesting phenomenon that so many of the third world countries that were colonized by Europe and by England and France, now people from those countries are moving into Paris, and London, and it's causing such a change in the climate of this culture.
Totally, and those cultures are transformed by the entry of the old colonized into the metropole. It's part of the shock you feel now when you're a part of that confrontation has to do not just with the crowding in of immigrants or cultural clash, but with a real frustration that's been basically unacknowledged, I think, on the part of all these old colons. There is nowhere to go in Europe, a small continent with hundreds of millions of people who have lost a frontier to themselves. There's no way to solve right now some of the shock of that loss to Europeans.
Well, you get to see also how Europeans see American culture through, for instance, all the American TV shows that are on in Europe, American records that are popular in Europe. Have you found anything amusing about the way, for instance, the French relate to American popular culture?
The French love America. The French have a terrific fantasy about America. Their primary fantasy is really cowboy America, which
I thought it was Detective America.
No, it's cowboy America. This is why Reagan was not as cynically treated in Europe as I certainly would have expected. And this may have something to do with what we were talking about before. The idea of the frontier, the idea of the cowboy figure, even as fraudulently as that, is so exciting to Europeans. You go into the countryside in France and as close to Paris as Versailles, you will come on dude ranches and Western clothing stores are all over the place. The thing that shocks Europeans, I know, when they come here precisely because of this romance with America is the poverty, is the the fact of homelessness here has stunned Europeans, I know, coming here. And I say, come on, don't you read your own newspapers? Don't you watch your own television? Don't you see what's happening in America? And they say, yes, but we don't believe it until we come because the country seems so vast and so promising still.
Do you believe it when you come home? When you come home to Manhattan and see the extent of homelessness, are you shocked?
I'm shocked each time because I become very European when I'm away. And the hardest thing for anyone who covers Europe to talk to Americans about or write to Americans about is the social contract in Europe, the fact that life for most people is better in Europe, not because Europe is richer, which it basically is not, or because Europe has better governments, which it does or does not according to the politics of the moment, but because somehow Europeans have learned to live with an appropriate sense of the social cost of human cruelty. There is not much homelessness in Europe. The meaning of civilization to many Europeans now involves the taking care of people within their world. And one of the great myths of America, it seems to me, is the idea that American working people have that they have the best possible life or in the best possible place, because in Europe it becomes clearer and clearer that the life is saner and better for a working person. That really is stunning to me, continually stunning to me.
Are you going to continue to divide your time between New York and Paris?
Oh, yes. or I'm probably addicted to it in a way. Now I'm here for too much time, and I begin to especially miss my daily life in France. Daily life in Paris is the pleasantest life in the world and the most reviving. So in a sense, I've almost become an addict to this double life.